Hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind. More we can sit back, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head. See if we can't take those ideas and maybe form some of our own. Maybe go out, start a conversation with friends, family, the person you meet on the street. Or maybe we just get caught up in a Google, YouTube search engine rabbit hole that leads us down a path somewhere. So how are you enjoying your Corona-cation cabin fever week, month, however long we've been on lockdown? I'm sure the kids have had fun not having to go to boring school. School's always been boring. All we got to do is memorize things. We're not actually learning. But we are. We learn a lot in school. How's that distance learning treating you? I don't have kids, so I don't know how this all plays out, more or less. So I'll sit here from my armchair, my Monday morning quarterbacking on how to raise your kids. Now, that's probably a little bit harsh, but again, we're just here to get those ideas rolling. We got this pandemic going on, this novel coronavirus out here causing problems. They shut down the schools, and now we're in the question of whether or not we're going to open up schools again. We've got some guy sitting over there in Washington, D.C., mandating that we're going to get all the schools back open. And we have people throughout the United States that are worried about that. And rightfully so. We're told this is the deadliest disease known to man. And yet we're also told it's not the deadliest disease to man, depending on who your sources are. And where's that fine point? Where's that middle point to decide what's right and what's wrong? What do we do when we have an expert coming out and telling us one thing, and then you just turn the radio knob a little bit to the left or to the right, you hit the up channel or down channel button a handful of times, and you have another expert telling you the exact opposite. What are we to do then? Conflicting points of view, both coming from experts, people well renowned within their field. At that point, we need to go out and look at both of their research and find out where it takes us. And maybe we don't come to the same conclusion as either one of them. We specifically choose to decide with one person or the other. But we're supposed to go out and make our own educated decision. Take the best of both bits of information and make a third set of information. Or again, we can just choose to stick to that one expert that we do trust. There's something to be said. Not expert. All experts are professionals. Some of them are snake oil salesmen, and that's obviously something we need to be careful of. But we're talking about kids today, kids and coronavirus, whether or not they should go back to school, whether or not these regularly average vectors of disease, and that's not to be mean, that's an endearing term. Children, the younger ones especially, are built to absorb as many bacteria as possible to help build their immune system. Again, that's the basic premise behind vaccines, but it's also the reason kids go out and make mud pies and eat them, build up that immune system. And if you go out and you start listening to the radio, everybody's talking about the, again, unknowns of children and their effectiveness or the ability to fight the coronavirus, this novel coronavirus. But the coronavirus, COVID-19, creates a cytokine storm. It forces the immune system to excessively overreact. And maybe it's a bad analogy, but your immune system is just a warm pot of water. And then when it gets a virus, it heats up a little bit, just gets the little bubbles on the bottom right before it's about to boil. And maybe if you get a fever, it boils a little bit more. But when you get coronavirus, especially as an older individual, that boiling pot of water just becomes that rolling boil and you can't turn it off. It just boils over the sides. And that's the scary part. Your immune system takes you out with the coronavirus. But children, these little resilient disease vectors, again, endearing, their immune system is built, is still young and virulent enough to be able to take on such an immense pressure. That's why they're rate of infection, or at least their visibility of being infected, is so low. Their chances of passing it also appear to be so low. Now you're sitting there going, Billy, where are you getting those crazy numbers, crazy facts? There was a study done over in Europe, across the pond, between Finland and Sweden, and their choices on how they handled the coronavirus. As we all know, Sweden didn't lock down. They had a massive number of deaths, and they're lambasted in the media. These evil people let people die. But lo and behold, in Sweden, the majority of people, and sadly enough, loss of human life is not a good thing, but we have to sit here and now look at numbers. We have to evaluate, challenge one expert to another expert. The majority of deaths in Sweden did happen within the elder care homes, where most of the deaths seem to happen. Tight, conformed areas with a lot of older people. And you got communal breakfast and dinner places, cafeterias more or less, where everybody goes and mingles. Everybody goes to each other's apartment, goes and hangs out. Minimal air circulation. But yet when you start looking at the numbers of corona deaths and of what age, the numbers in both countries, population per 100,000, are relatively the same, pretty close. And especially in the age years going up to age 19, 1 to 19, there's still sickness, yes, but the number of deaths is significantly lower than any other age bracket. In Finland, 1 to 5 years, there were 96 reported cases out of over 269,000. That's 36 per 100,000. Between 6 and 15, 257 reported cases, but that's out of over 616,000, 42 out of 100,000. 16 to 19, 231 reported cases, 1 admitted to an ICU, and that's out of 236,000. That's 98 per 100,000. So during those top-end years, seems to be a little bit more dangerous, but kids might be a little bit more intermingling at those ages. And these numbers are all as of per June 14th. And those were Finland. And one final note on Finland. Total number from years 1 to 19, 584 cases. Just that one admitted to the ICU out of 1,121,961, which is 52 cases per 100,000 individuals. And that's only, again, that 1 to 19 range. In Sweden, 1 to 5, 98 reported cases. 2 went to the ICU out of 610,000, but that's only 16 per 100,000. 6 to 15, 370 cases. 6 reported to the ICU out of 1,225,000, but that's only 30 per 100,000. 16 to 19, 680 cases. Another 6 admitted to the ICU out of 451,000. And that's 150 per 100,000 cases. So significantly higher. But again, in Sweden, where they didn't lock down, they had their own form of social distancing, but it wasn't as strict as everywhere else. Total cases, 1 to 19, 1,124. 14 admitted to the ICU out of a population of 2,288,347. It's a matter of 49 cases per 100,000. So there's cases. There still are cases. The number of intensive care unit people admitted, definitely significantly higher in Sweden, but there were no deaths listed in any of those. Finland, who had a total lockdown, and Sweden, who didn't. Now, how do we compare all that with the United States? Again, that becomes kind of difficult because, well, according to the CDC website, they don't have the exact same age bracket. Granted, that was a European-based specific study, and the CDC keeps track of its own numbers however they choose to decide to take care of them. Now, looking at the CDC website becomes a little convoluted, but under 1 year old, apparently over 7,000 children died last year, under 1 year old. Tragic. Only 9 of them died of COVID. Ages 1 to 4, 1,400 children died. Again, tragic. 8 died of COVID. Specifically, again, listed under the CDC website. 5 to 14 years, 2,173 children died. 14 of those were COVID. 15 to 24 years. This is where the numbers kind of get skewed because we completely bypass that 19 number, or we don't include the 19 or the 20 to 24 age bracket within the European counting system. But here in America, 13,721 children died, 15 to 24. And then over 18, you're not a child, even though you're still a child, but you're not a child. 13,000 died, 157 were listed as COVID. So again, while the loss of life is not pleasant, it's not something we're searching for, the whole point is to show that the amount of risk is significantly lower than those in the older age brackets, 60 plus. The numbers, when you again start looking at the CDC website, start to spike up around 50 years old and then skyrocket above that. We can have the conversation for the older generations of kids because they're becoming more and more close to that breaking point. But again, at what point does this situation turn into like the peanut butter pandemic, as I'm going to go so far as to call it, where one kid was allergic to peanuts, legumes, so no one could have peanuts or legumes, and just kind of spread. And when you go back and you do that bit of research, you find out that at a certain point, you're supposed to eat legumes, peanuts, because the body thinks that they're one thing, but they're really another thing. So they're safe. And so as you eat them as a very young child, you find the body finds out that it's okay. Then you don't get that cytokine storm when you eat them when you're older. There's no real vaccine, as far as I understand, for peanut butter. But now you can't have peanut butter anywhere because everybody's allergic to it. Is there a point that we can get kids to have this? Because their bodies are, again, built, designed, and resilient enough to hold and take care of and not pass on this disease? Now, we're not sure just yet. Granted, this is still year one, year zero of this exciting time. But what about the other consequences? We can say that the children are less effective, less affected. We can question their ability to transmit the virus. But the big point of that European study was to question and weigh the consequences of keeping children at home and not sending them to school. Going to school where you get that social interaction, where we have so little of that today. We need to learn social cues and not just from our family. And I'm sure social cues are going right out the door right now with certain parents and families that just can't take it anymore. There's only so much you can take from your kid when you haven't signed up to be a full-time parent. You signed up to be a parent with the school, the government raising your child, and you working that second job so you can make ends meet. And that's, again, I'm not bashing you. To each their own. Everybody's family life is how they're supposed to be, how they choose to live it. But social interaction with the children is very important. Very important to a developmental cycle. And even though we have Zoom or Facebook Live or whatever the new widget is on the cell phones, you can't replace in-person interaction. Just looking at some of the potential downsides to this loss of lack of personal interaction, this socializing, learning of social cues, this chance for free play, a little bit of unsupervised time. I'm sure some of the parents would appreciate that. Just get out of the house, go play imagination. But when these children are not allowed to socialize, when they're kept off of the playground because choose your dictator, either the one in the Oval Office or the one running your state, we can have our opinions on that. But there's a chance for poor self-esteem. There's a chance for depression. If you got no self-esteem, you just kind of get stuck in a hole. A loss of reality. You're stuck at home playing video games or watching too many movies. Not saying someone's going to go out there and jump off a building because they think they can fly, but how much Grand Theft Auto can you have before you start thinking that it's okay to start stealing cars? The lack of moving around runs a chance of increased tumor risk, according to this fancy website. It's on the internet, so it must be true. Body chills. Decreased ability to learn. If you don't get to bounce ideas off someone else, if you don't get that immediate positive or negative feedback, do you lose some chance of being able to comprehend the material? And at what point does that snowball? Also on this list, an decreased sense of empathy. You don't understand when someone actually needs a shoulder to cry on. You don't understand that they also have the same feelings. Inflammation, those stress levels, both for adults and children. Stress is very unhealthy for the body. If you don't have that outlet, it just tacks on everything. One of those can be that inflammation. And with that increased stress and that increased inflammation, you run that chance of a shorter lifespan. You get an increased risk of dementia and reduced resilience. Now, again, maybe this is from one of those experts online that just knows everything about one thing but doesn't know anything about the other thing. But it's in the show notes. You can check that out. And me, what am I an expert at? Just an expert podcaster. If I can go so far as to say so. I'm not here to give you proper or correct information, although I hope it is. I guess that was the wrong thing to say, but I try. I question the expert, question the other expert. I at least get the conversation started, I hope. Hopefully get those gears turning within our heads and see where we can go. But I'm Billy Bones, BillyBone, the number 3S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You go to the website, BillyBones.com. There you'll find the show notes, find past episodes. You'll find an email and Discord link. You get there and you let me know what I got right, what I got wrong, things I should have added or left out. Maybe you just got to let me know. Again, that's Billy Bones, number 3 instead of an E. This is a Value for Value podcast. If you found any value out of this podcast, I do appreciate that you give the show a share. And if you found monetary value out of it, again, go to the website, scroll all the way down, click the Value for Value button, it'll take you to PayPal. And you can donate whatever you felt it was worth. But thanks for listening. I love you guys. And I'll talk to you next week.